Well, good morning. It is great to see you all, and we are going to have some fun today because we're going to talk about the election. Yeah, you know, the presidential election, it was a big deal. You know, what is the best reaction to the election? Is it to celebrate or protest, laugh, cry, tune out? There's a whole lot of emotions going on in us individually, in our Vineyard community. Well, we're going to really get back to basics today, because the short answer of how best to react is to love God and love people, period. Now, that's hard to squeeze on a coffee mug. The longer version goes like this. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Him is Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So today, Jesus is asking his followers, is this how you're reacting to the election? Because if it is, cool. It'll make you more like me. It'll help bring my kingdom, point people to me. It will bring joy and peace in this world. So, how are we reacting to the election? And by the way, today we're going to focus on the love God part. It's not that people aren't important. They really are. And there are good, reasonable people who voted for both candidates, and we need to love them all, even the ones that aren't so good and reasonable. But the thing is, Jesus put loving God first because it's out of loving God that loving people flows. And so we're going to take it in that order. And just like Jesus didn't forget loving people, we'll get there too. So how are we reacting to the election? Well, we fall kind of on a spectrum, and we're going to look at sort of the extremes of the spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, some of us, we are excited. We are thrilled about the election. We are. We voted for Trump, and, you know, we might not like everything about him, but we're pretty happy with what we got. We want change, and we want him to make America great again. Now, here's my question. Are we putting too much faith in Trump? You know, we like him saying that he's going to make America great again, but when exactly was America really great? You know, I know someone who's really great. God. Trump famously said, he said, I'm the only one that can fix it. Well, if we really want it fixed, I'm pretty sure there's only one guy that can do it. And it's Jesus. I mean, he's doing it with or without us. Read to the end of his book, the Bible. He wins. Jesus makes the world perfect again. Now, how? What way is he doing it? What's the way that he's inviting us to be part of that? What actually wins? Pride? Ego? Does that win? No. Actually, it's humility that wins. Could it be that it's, you know, fame and celebrity that wins? No. It's sacrifice and service that win. Does hate and racism and misogyny win? No. It's love that wins. Jesus wins. You know, lots of people voted for Trump because he's going to make America first. Well, wait a minute. If we're followers of Jesus, what's our real citizenship? Shouldn't it be make the kingdom of God first? The kingdom of God first. Is that what this election and our reaction to it looks like? Okay, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. On the left, some of us are crying. We're going through the like stages of grief after this election. Yeah, we voted for Clinton, or we just voted against Trump. And now we got this sexist, racist, egomaniac who's going to ruin everything. America is a joke in the world. You know, we were a country of immigrants, and now are minorities even safe in Trump's America? You know, and our children, how are we going to teach our children about character when they have this kind of role model as president? You know, he taught my 7-year-old the P word. Maybe it is time to move to Canada. Now, here's my question. Are we too afraid of Trump? Because our fear, what it actually shows is that we're putting a whole lot of faith in government and politics. Maybe like our friends on the other side, we need to ask ourselves, who is our savior? Is it the president or is it Jesus? You know, God, he's got this funny way of working through nations and world leaders. We need to dust off our Bibles and get some real perspective here. Can you think of any countries, any world leaders that God's used to get his way? Because, by the way, he's doing it all the time. He certainly used his chosen people, Israel. You know, King David, there was a man after God's own heart, an adulterer like Trump, murderer. And Israel, it was probably the best nation, rebellious Israel, the best nation that God's worked through. You know, God's worked through some downright evil countries and nations. Egypt, the Exodus. Babylon, the captivity. Rome. It's the Romans that crucified Jesus. Do you see here? Trump's ego could grow bigger and bigger and bigger until he thinks he's a god, like Pharaoh and Caesar. And God can still work through him. God will get his way. It's just like Joseph said to his brothers who sold him into slavery, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. See, even if we assume the absolute worst about Donald Trump, the kingdom of God is not in trouble. The kingdom of God is not in trouble. Now, what is our real citizenship if we're followers of Jesus? Do you see how our reaction to this election, it points to where we think our primary citizenship is? Is it in the kingdom of God? You know, in this time of divided politics, we think we don't have anything in common on the right and the left, and that's just not true. We got lots in common. We do. Thinking that Trump is the answer, thinking that Trump is being thinking he's too much of the answer and being too afraid of him, it points to the same problem in our hearts. That we're struggling to love God with everything we got, heart, mind, soul, everything. It points to that we're putting something else, politics, above the living God, which, by the way, that's the first of the Ten Commandments. It shows that we're struggling, well, with idolatry. That's the bad news for today, okay? That our reaction to this election, many of our social media posts, they're not just dumb, they're spiritually sick. Here's the good news, okay? That we can have a really healthy reaction to this election. That we can, in this and all situations, get back to basics and love God, love people, period. Not just in the abstract, not just a slogan on the coffee mugs. We can do it in real and practical ways. And to see how to do that, we're going to look at Psalm 46 today. So grab a Bible. It's on page 393 in the Bibles we got here. I'm going to pray, and then we'll read it. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come, help, help, help. We need your help. We're talking about religion and politics today. God, some people may explode. Help us. I'm sure I've already offended some people. For some people, I've gone too far, and for others, I'm not going far enough. A lot of people are thinking, what is this joker talking about? God, get me out of the way. And through that miracle that only you can do, put power on these words so they connect with each person's heart, so they hear what they need to hear today. Oh God, let this be a turning point in our lives. use what's happening in the world, what's happening in us, to draw us closer to you and your love, and to change us in beautiful and wonderful ways. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." All right, maybe it's just all the negative campaign rhetoric, but it's easy to see in this psalm that there is trouble and fear, that trouble and fear are real in this world. You know, the nations are in uproar. America is in uproar. Okay, and then you have all the poetic imagery, the images from nature that we see here representing what's happening in society. Though the earth give way, waters roar and foam. That sure feels like our world right now. And then at the end of verse 1, help in trouble. There is trouble. Poop happens. Yes, poop happens. Someone didn't forget to tell God. He knows. Jesus himself said, in this world, there will be trouble. You will have trouble. Yeah, we face so much trouble. And this election made that so clear. Economic trouble. The American economy is not working for everyone. People have been left behind by globalization. There's folks that are being drowned in debt, student loans, struggling. And then there's the fear of, we're afraid of terrorism and extremists. You know, if people can be attacked at a mall in St. Cloud, there is no place that's safe. America is at war. And then we have the racism and the sexism and the hating people that are different from us, the fear of other people's fear, the judging people on Facebook because of their fear. This is trouble. Social discourse is falling apart. We don't have respect. We don't listen to people. We just insult them. The fabric of society is fraying. This is trouble. And then we have the troubles that hit us on such a personal level, the death in a family, illness, disability, loss of a job, relationships falling apart, marriages that are destroyed, loneliness and anxiety and depression and injustice. There's trouble. And trouble, it rubs against, it goes right into this very intense, very human need that we have for security. And when trouble runs into that, it produces fear. Fear. The end of the second verse. Therefore, we will not fear. Fear. That's the normal reaction to trouble, is fear. After this past week, lots of people are afraid. Afraid of the future, afraid of uncertainty, afraid of Donald Trump, afraid of people who are against Donald Trump. You know, I'm a white man, but I can imagine people who don't look like me They might be scared of America after the election. And a lot of people who voted for Trump, one of the big reasons was fear, and not just a fear of Clinton, like a deep fear that this country is on the wrong track, that they are being left behind in their own country. It's the kind of fear that would get people to vote for someone, to want change, even though they don't see him as perfect. He's the one that's listening to them. Fear. So much fear. What do we do with our fear? I tell you, that's a really telling question. What we do with our fear. Where do we go for security and safety? Wherever you're at right now, maybe you're afraid right now, maybe you're not so afraid. Let me tell you, you will be. In this life, you will have trouble. You're going to face a time when you are afraid and you are troubled. What are you going to, where are you going to go for security and safety? Are we going to go to politics and politicians? Really? Are we? Or are we going to raid the fridge and eat a whole half gallon of ice cream? Are we going to flip on the television or check out social media, the internet? Are we going to go shopping or are we going to go to sex for a release? Maybe we're going to try to take control. You know, I'm going to make phone calls and stay up all night working and clean the house and yell and scream. Where do we go? That question shows us who we really are, what really motivates and drives us. Where do we find security? Where do we find safety? Where do we find escape when there is trouble? What do we put our faith in when we're worried? Well, is God our refuge and our strength? Remember how the psalm starts? What would that look like to have God as our refuge? Well, it would mean that God is the ultimate source of security in our lives, that above everything else, we look to him to make our lives work, to make them happy and successful, to protect us. Now, none of this means that followers of Jesus never get hurt. We don't like suddenly become bulletproof, right? We live in the same world, the same politics, the same presidents, the same economic turmoil and disease and war. No, but what it means is we don't go through it ourselves. We don't go through it alone. We can never be separated from God. The Apostle Paul, he talked about this in Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, it doesn't say that there won't be trouble and hardship and famine and persecution and nakedness and politics and even sometimes bad presidents and good presidents. It doesn't say that we're not going to face that. What it does promise is that we will never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That if we go to God, if we run to him instead of running to the fridge or the bottle or the internet, that he'll be with us, that he will get us through it. See, my question today is, did any of us vote for Trump because we were looking for a refuge other than God? Or are any of us today afraid of Trump because we don't see that God is right there with us? In all of our trouble, do we see him, Jesus, there with us, really? And again, this does not mean that God's going to magically open the plant up again and we're going to get our jobs back. And it also doesn't mean that God's just going to magically poof and Trump is gone, or poof and he's always nice to everyone. Now, that could happen, all right? We do have a God of miracles. I can tell you that. I met a couple in the lobby who they were in a car accident, and their car was careening off the road, about to go off an embankment, and an angel grabbed their car, put it back in its lane. Wow. Me in my life, much less dramatic than that. I was lost once. I was late to a meeting, all stressed out, and I heard God say, follow that red car in front of you. And sure enough, that car took me exactly to where I needed to go. Weird. Our God does stuff like that. He does. Now, I want to tell you, that's not the way he works most of the time. Most of the time, he doesn't snatch us out. Most of the time, God is with us as we go through it. Okay? He protects us, mainly our hearts. He deflects a lot of the danger and the damage from us. But there is pain, and we go through it with him. Now, God isn't just our refuge. He's also our strength. And a cool way I've heard to think about that is refuge, that implies like outer strength and or outer protection. And strength, that implies inner strength. So it's kind of like a cast. You know, you have a cast on, it provides outer strength. But you take it off and you find out if you've had a cast on, you need inner strength too, right? That's the kind of inner strength that God's providing, that holds us up when we're threatened, when we think we can't go on. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, pure persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Now look at this tension, okay? Look at this tension. The world around us, politics, is trying to crush us like bugs, and we're just clay. We can't stand up to it. God gives us the strength to stand up. See what it says? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Clay would be crushed. But the strength in us comes from God. God strengthens us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're clay. We're as dumb as dirt. It's not our smarts. It's not us figuring it out, but God's there comforting us. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Clay doesn't have social skills. It doesn't have a social network. It doesn't have the right connections and people to help it. But God's there. We're together with him. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We're clay. How is it that we're not destroyed? It's Jesus in us, strengthening us. Have you ever experienced that kind of strength? Have you ever had to say to someone, well, you know, I just couldn't have got through that if it wasn't God giving me the supernatural strength to make it through that. Otherwise, I would have collapsed. Have you had that? Because you can. Remember, he's our ever-present help in trouble. Please, today, get in on that help. Don't leave here without experiencing that. That help for you personally, or maybe if you're not feeling that you need it for you, maybe God's going to give you that to give to other people, to share with them. Now, what does this help look like? Well, you know, it sure doesn't come from politics. You know, I am praying that Donald Trump is the best president we have ever had, better than Lincoln. But Trump is not the change we need. He's not. So many people in this election voted for change, but the change that we need, the kingdom of God is the change that we need. The kingdom of God, that's where God gets his way. It's where he has his rule and his reign. In heaven, he gets his way 100% of the time. That's what makes it heaven. Here, today, this world, in America, God's kingdom is breaking through. It is. When we pray for people here and they are healed, their bodies are healed, that's God getting his way. When God changes our character, when I experience his love and it makes me more full of love and peace and patience and joy and self-control, that's God's kingdom in us. When God gives us what we need to obey him, to tell the truth, to break free from our addictions, to keep sex in marriage, within marriage, to actually help the poor, to really actually do it and help them. When God does that, that is his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now remember what Jesus said. There's trouble. There is trouble, right? Jesus knows. We're afraid sometimes. We're tempted to worry. And Jesus said, hey, wait a minute, back up. Get a big perspective here. Birds of the air, God feeds them. The beautiful wildflowers, he clothes them. Don't you know you're more important than that to God? Don't you see that God is in control? Stop worrying about yourselves and seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Yeah, God's kingdom is the change we need. Do you see what an amazing promise this is that Jesus is making? It's like this old story from England. Queen Elizabeth I, the way back when, Queen Elizabeth, she needed this particular man to go on a voyage to the New World. She needed him to sail to the New World because he had the skills to make the voyage a success. Now, he was a small businessman, and his business wasn't doing so well, and if he left, it would probably fail. So Queen Elizabeth famously said to him, "My dear friend, you mind my business, and I'll mind your business." And that's all he needed. All the fear of doing what she wanted was gone. Because he had stinking Queen Elizabeth back then, all powerful, all wealth, promising him. Do we hear Jesus today saying the same thing to us? You mind my business, I'll mind your business. You seek first the kingdom of God, and I got your back. I'll be the change that you need. And here's how this often looks. God takes the trouble, the things that are bothering us. God takes the fear, the anxiety in our lives, and amazingly, he turns them. So somehow that situation brings life and growth in us. God takes these piles of manure, and he grows beautiful things out of them. He does. Maybe you've seen this. God is the great transformer, the great changer. Maybe for you it was, I don't know, an unwanted pregnancy or you got fired at work, divorce. Maybe it was illness. For me, it was cancer. And maybe like me, you would say, boy, I would never want to go through that again. And I'd never want anyone else to have cancer. But, and this is a big but what God did, the things he taught me, the growth he brought in me, the love I experienced, the closeness I have to him after going through that, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Nothing. Nearly every mature follower of Jesus has a story like that. Do. How do we press into that? So many of us are overwhelmed. We're troubled. We need change in our lives. This is what Jesus does so often. He takes those situations and transforms them. That's what's available to all of us today. In our lives, real change. Now, I want to say that this happens to us individually. It's super powerful when it changes us. But Psalm 46, it doesn't just talk about, you know, God dealing with personal problems, right? Do you remember what it talked about in Psalm 46? It said, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. See, what this shows us is God, he changes us in powerful ways individually, and it's through that that he is changing the world. He is making the world perfect again. How are we getting in on that? Our reaction to this election can change us in powerful ways and change the world in powerful ways. So again, back to basics. loving God. What does that look like in action? Loving God. Well, I love the way that the psalm ends, the last few verses. Ends like this. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." First steps towards seeking the kingdom of God, towards loving God with everything we have, towards the change we need, is to be still and to know the truth. The election is over. Calm down. Be still. Trump is not the answer. And Trump is not the problem. There is trouble and fear. It's so easy to see. The world needs change, and change is coming. The loving God is still on his throne, and he will rule it all one day. But even now, his kingdom is breaking through. Do we see that? Do we see those miracles that are making this world perfect again? Next, be still and stop striving. You know, an attractive alternative to having God as our refuge and our strength for many of us, the attractive alternative is to do it ourselves, to strive. In the language of the psalm, to take up the sword and the spear and to fight. I bet some of us have seen some of that in social media lately. The fighting. The fighting for Trump or fighting against Trump, the punch and counterpunch, the insults, and so little listening. And this striving, it can also go internal. Some of us are just like, no, this ain't for me. We're just tuned out. We're just like, nope, I don't care about politics. I'm just gonna work on my own life. I'm gonna make it good. It's interesting that the psalm talks about being the God of Jacob. Do you know the story of Jacob? Jacob, his whole life was spent manipulating and striving and wrestling with God to try to get a blessing that God was all too willing to give him if he just would have given up and stopped fighting with his family and surrendered to God and received it. So many of us were missing out on what God wants to give us because we are striving so hard without him. Can we surrender control? Can we be still and surrender control? So surrendering control, it is so important for loving God with everything we got. If we're going to seek first his kingdom, the first step is to become a citizen of his kingdom, to have him as our king. It's to surrender to him, to say to Jesus, "Jesus, oh boy, I can't do it. I give up. I can't make myself good enough. I can't pay the price for all the mess I've made, but you died on that cross to pay the price for my mistakes and to give me your righteousness and your perfection. I accept that gift. You as my king." And that's an amazing step. We all need that. But we need to keep being still and listening for where else we need to surrender. The places in our lives that we are still holding on. The places where he is not king. It could be our politics, our social media usage, our attitude towards Trump. It could be our morality, our finances, our sexuality, our friendships, our parenting. It could be our character. Do we see love, joy, peace, patience, self-control in us? Are we willing to surrender for God to put those things in us? Well, I tell you what, right now, we're going to spend a little time being still and seeing what God has to say. I'm going to read just a few questions. And these questions, if you're feeling emotional about the election, these are great questions for that, but they really apply to any area of our lives. And like I said, I'm gonna read the questions and then we're gonna be still. There's gonna be some silence. And in a big room like this, that's gonna be awkward. Press past the awkwardness, okay? Listen to God. So, in this election, in our lives, Father, how well do I know you're in control? Jesus, where am I striving for control and need to stop? Holy Spirit, what do I need to surrender to you? God, thank you for your presence in the stillness. We need you. We need you. Give us what we need to love you with everything we've got. Unify us in your kingdom. Amen. Well, I tell you, Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, it talks about the earth melting. There's all this turmoil and violence in it. You know, it gets us to think that the things that are going on in the world today, politics, those things aren't going to last. They're not eternal. I mean, seriously, when Jesus comes back in his glory, when he makes everything perfect again, is anyone even going to care who the president of the United States is? There are so many things in our lives that we think are so important, but they're not eternal. Our wealth and our success and our fame, you know, our jobs, our careers, you know, social media, it's not eternal, okay? Not eternal. So what does last? I'm so glad you asked. God, the kingdom of God, and people. People last. People are important. That's why they are part of the great commandment. People last. The best reaction to this election includes loving people in real and practical ways. So now I'm going to challenge you to take some concrete steps to love people. The first one is to love Trump and Clinton by praying for them every day until Thanksgiving. Simple, right? Every day till Thanksgiving, just take some time to pray for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, you can pray for the country, you can pray for political parties, you can pray for policies, but that's not this, okay? God loves people. Pray for Donald and Hillary as people, because believe it or not, they are real people. And then when we get to Thanksgiving, thank God for them. And it will be easy if you've been praying for them, if you've actually done it. Because despite their flaws, God is madly in love with them both. He deeply loves them, and he will show you that by then. Got it? Simple, right? Now, if you fail at this, if you can't do it, don't beat yourself up. Ours is not a God of guilt and shame. But if you fail, take some time to memorize these verses. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You got it? Pray for them every day. I know in my life I'm going to use post-it notes to remind me. But if you fail, just take some time to memorize what the Bible says about this. And if you just can't memorize, well, I don't know, get a Sharpie and write these verses somewhere on your body, okay? Just write them on there somewhere. Next step, clean up your mess on social media. If you have defriended or blocked or said anything mean or insulting to anyone during this election, if you have made any hurtful and thoughtless generalizations about groups of people, now, today, is the time to apologize. And this apology should sound like this. I'm sorry. We may not agree, but I care about you and respect you. It should not sound like this. I'm sorry if I hurt you, but in church they said we have to apologize for all the idiots on the internet. No. Okay. And if you've used social media to discuss this election, maybe to say something critical about one of the candidates, now's time to post something like this on social media. Politics and elections are important, but they're not as important as loving God and loving people. Period. I'm asking God to bless America because, above all, my faith is in Him. And since both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are real people that God dearly loves, I'm asking Him to teach me to love them both too. Now, if you used social media to talk about politics, can you do this? If you can't, talk to Jesus about why you can't. What's your fear? What's your resistance to doing this? Next step, listen to someone who disagrees or is different from you. One of the most powerful acts of love is to actually listen to people, to try to see where they're coming from, to know what they're talking about. So before the end of this year, find someone who disagrees with you or at the very least is very different from you and have a real conversation with them. Now, if you're an introvert like me and you're not great at real conversations, here's conversation 101. You can ask them some simple questions. Where did you grow up? Tell me about your family. How long have you lived here? What brought you here? What kind of change do you think is needed in our community? What are your dreams, your fears? What do you think about Jesus? You got it? And this isn't just a check-the-box thing. You're not taking a survey. We're actually trying to love people by listening to them. And if you don't know who to talk to, just ask Jesus to highlight someone. Trust me, there's people in this room who disagree with you. I actually considered having everyone go to the different walls, and we could play like Red Rover, or maybe we could rush to the middle and hug each other. We're not going to do that. If you don't know who disagrees with you, I don't know, you can ask me, you can talk to one of the pastors, we can probably point someone out. This isn't that hard. Those are great first steps. Now here's another step for next year. In 2017, actually serve someone who disagrees with you or is different from you. You know, buy them lunch, or bring them donuts, or mow their lawn. Do something practical and meaningful for them. Now, I'm not against surprise acts of kindness, okay? But I am a white, straight man. And so if I was to go into an office, maybe a group that advocates for women or for LGBTQ or for people of color, and I would just to bring them a box of donuts, it wouldn't be entirely surprising if they threw the donuts out after I left. Because donuts might not be their love language. Or they might not trust donuts from me. The point is, to actually serve people, you kind of have to get to know them. So the listening often has to come before the serving. That's where the Holy Spirit gets to highlight needs, places He wants us to serve. And maybe during the listening, we could hear from some white people why they feel left behind, why they feel their country is failing them, why they felt like it was only Trump listening to them. And maybe while we're listening, we could hear from some minorities, from people of color, why America doesn't feel safe to them anymore after the election. Why they're afraid, they fear violence, they fear there isn't a place for them. Listening is powerful. Working to see where other people are coming from. See, we're talking here about just simple acts of love. And Jesus said it's important to love people. This election has been a big deal. And there is lots of turmoil, lots of emotion going on. But this isn't that hard for us as followers of Jesus. We just need to get back to basics. Loving God and loving people. What if we stood out in this world for our reaction to this election? What if people looked at us and they said, whoa, that's different than other people. They are loving God. They are loving people. That would change us in powerful ways. God could use that to change this world in powerful ways. That would be cool. Why don't you stand up with me? Let's press into this further. We're going to move into ministry time. We're just going to spend some time talking to God about the things that we've been talking about. So God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, and we do need your help. We need your love. Holy Spirit, take us back to basics. Show us how to truly love God and love people. Help us do that in a world that is full of trouble and fear. Help us to see how you can be our refuge and our strength. God, bring the change that we need in our lives, the kingdom of God in our lives, turning the fear and the trouble into something beautiful. And let those changes, God, use those changes to change this world, to make it perfect again. God, we invite you into our lives. Show us, God, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, where we are afraid, where we feel the trouble, and then let us feel your love. Let us feel you calling us in. Oh God, change us today. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And if there's anything in your life that you need prayer for, maybe you need physical healing, you've got relationships that are in trouble financially, we'd love to pray for any of that. If there's something in your life you'd love to celebrate, we'd love to pray for you. In particular, if this election is hitting you hard, if you see that America is on the wrong track and you're worried about the country, you're worried, and you, whether it's Trump or whether it's not Trump, it doesn't matter. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to connect you with what is a true refuge and strength. If there's any area in your life that you're having trouble surrendering to God and his control, today's the day. Let someone help you to actually lay that down and have God change your life. If you're seeing where you do need to love other people, but you need God's strength to do it, connect with that strength today. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you to stay, to listen to what God has to say, how he's inviting you to love him and to love people. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.